I'm sorry, once more. Oh, George Jenkins. What did George do? The founder of Publix. There you go. I heard something else. Gallagher. What did Gallagher do? Other than get people wet. It's always interesting when famous people come back to town, isn't it? It's always interesting. Can you imagine the news flash back in Jesus' day, you know? Local boy makes good in Jerusalem, coming back home, details at 11, you know, right? And they meant the 11 o'clock service, right? Because Jesus was coming back to Nazareth. He was coming back to Nazareth after having made a name for himself going around the country, and now he was back. He was coming back. Turn with me, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and beginning with verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. He came back to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Can you imagine what that would have been like for everybody in town? Ooh, that preacher who's done really well, that teacher, he's coming back to town. He's going to be here. When's he coming? He'll be here this Sabbath. Can you imagine how the talk went around town? They didn't even have AT&T. They just would talk. But note what it says next. It says, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. So Jesus' habit was to go to the synagogue each Sabbath. So that wouldn't have been surprising. I wonder, though, how it would be if Jesus were to show up here this week. If that would happen. If Jesus would come to the Lakeland Church this week. Can you imagine the light of the world coming to the Lakeland Church? Man, it'd be packed, wouldn't it? People would come, they'd be saying, hey, Jesus is coming, you know, the Savior, Jesus is coming to Lakeland, this very city. He's going to be here this Sabbath, details at 11, right? It'd have been awesome. And as his custom was, he would have been here in this place Sabbath morning. That was what Jesus did. Do you think Jesus would have been at home in a Bible reading church, one where the pastor gets up and says, take your Bibles out and turn to Luke chapter 4? Would Jesus be at home there? No, he wouldn't want to be in the Bible reading church. I think he would. I think he would have been at a church where they would open the Bible, don't you? Jesus would be where they'd open the Bible. In fact, it says in verse 17, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. So he was going to read from Scripture that morning. That morning for church, Jesus was doing the Scripture reading. Reading from Isaiah. And in fact, he was reading these verses, some of them that we've quoted here this morning, right? But he was reading them from Isaiah chapter 61. If you're interested to look back there, verses 1 and 2, that's where Jesus was reading from that particular Sabbath. I think Jesus, as his custom was, would have come here. He would have been reading the Scriptures. And he would have been at home to be where people read the Bible in church. And let's see what he read. Verse 18, are you with me? Beginning with verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What went through Jesus' mind as he read those verses? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Do you think the thoughts that went through Jesus' mind as he read those words were different from the thoughts that went through the minds of those who were listening? Yeah. I think they were thinking in a whole different ballpark, weren't they? How about you and I? If Jesus were to come here today and read this scripture for us today, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, how would we feel? What would come to our minds? How in touch with the Spirit are we? How in touch do we need to be? If we're going to have a church that reflects the light of the world, Jesus Christ, will the Spirit of the Lord be upon us? Is this a prophecy that applies not only to Jesus while he was here on this earth, but to the body of Christ? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Was it true the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus? In Luke chapter 3, he was baptized, right? Do you remember what happened at his baptism? The Spirit, like a dove, right? You remember? Came down on him in bodily form, John reported. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And then look at Luke chapter 4 again. Just a few verses ahead of where we're reading now, verse 14. Right after Jesus had been tempted in the wilderness, verse 14, it says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. He was not there just walking in, ho-hum, and nobody noticed. He was in the Spirit of the Lord and in the power that the Spirit gives. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Also Luke's book. Acts chapter 10. Verse 38. Peter was preaching, talking about Jesus, and he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. With power. Did you notice how those two seem to come together? With the Holy Spirit and with power. He said the Holy Spirit was upon him. And the people there that morning, that Sabbath morning in Nazareth, could feel the power of God as they listened to the voice of Jesus in that place. And I bet Jesus didn't even have a microphone, you know? He just had the power there. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And what did Jesus do with this Holy Spirit anointing? What did Jesus do with this power? Verse 38 continuing. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Let's go back to Luke for a moment. Back in Luke, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he has anointed me. Same wording we heard in Acts, that he was anointed. For what purpose, though? Why was Jesus anointed with this Spirit? To preach the gospel to the poor, yes? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind. You see, Jesus was endued with power from on high. He was anointed with the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, the rest of that quotation from Isaiah is impossible. Impossible. We cannot be preaching the gospel to the poor. We cannot be sent to heal the brokenhearted. We cannot be proclaiming liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind without the power of the Spirit. God has to be in the work. Sure, we could mouth the words. We might even convince ourselves that we're doing what God would have us to do. But without the power of the Spirit, do you think it'll make any difference? Do you think that we would be said to be having the Spirit and power? Without the power and the Holy Spirit, Acts 10:38 wouldn't have happened. So this tells us our greatest need. Our greatest need. We have a lot of needs, you know? There's a lot of things we could do. Lots of things that we're working on. Lots of issues in our church. I'm sure if I were to ask you to give an anonymous survey, you could tell me a whole lot of things that need to be done. As long as it was strictly anonymous, right? I wonder how high on our list being baptized by the Holy Spirit would be. How close to the top of everyone's list would it be for us to say what we seriously need is the Holy Spirit, not just in the pastor's life, not just in the head elder's life, or the other elder's lives, or the deacon's lives, or the deaconess's lives, but in each one of our lives, Father in heaven, I need your Holy Spirit. How tall would that be on our list? To recognize that the greatest need of our church is not to fix a pothole or to deal with a leaky roof or to do something with stuff, but the greatest need of the church begins with each one of us. That it's having the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Being anointed with that Spirit. But hey, we can do that next week, right? Or we can do it a month from now, or a year from now, or 10 years from now, or just any time, right? Because God's always there waiting for us. He's very patient, you know? So it's good with Him if we just wait, right? God has no urgency to wrap up His work. He has no worries about people continuing to suffer in our world, does He? Okay, I'm overstating the case. Clearly, it's not only our greatest need, but it's also our most urgent need as well, isn't it? That the most urgent need, I have a lot of needs that I should probably take care of. I can only fill the tank up on my truck halfway, you know. I filled it up once full. When I came out in the morning, it wasn't full anymore. I found out shortly after I bought the truck that had a hole in the gas tank. So I figured out that I can only fill it about halfway. So, you know, I have a need to fix that probably sometime. I checked into it once. It's a couple hundred bucks, you know? And it's like, I'll just stop twice as often at the gas station, you know? It's okay. I have a need to fix that sooner or later, though, you know? It's probably not good to have a hole in your gas tank, right? Not a good thing. Do you think that's my most urgent need? No. No. There's a lot of other needs I have too, you know? There's stuff I probably could change here at the church that some people, some of you probably have gone, why won't he ever get to this? Right? I'm looking for y'all shaking your head. But you're very discreet. That's good. That's good. And yet, even that, is that really the most urgent need? The most urgent need we have is for the Holy Spirit to take control of all of us, each of us individually in our personal lives, isn't it? Can you imagine a greater need, a more urgent need for us today? I can't either. Right now, I don't know if you've noticed, probably you got your Adventist World magazine here recently. And in other magazines around our church, I've seen articles in Ministry Magazine. I've seen articles in, where's Kit? Liberty Magazine. I've seen in all of these magazines a call from our new General Conference president, even at his inauguration, that brothers and sisters, what we need is to come back to the Lord and have His Holy Spirit come upon us as a people. That's where God is calling us, to not just depend on someone in the church to be God's person, but for me to be God's person, to take these verses to heart for us personally today. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Because he has anointed me. And I'm just saying that for each one of you. I pray that as you read this, you can realize that it's about each one of us. God wants to anoint each of us. God wants a personal experience with us that goes beyond the pew. God wants to be in your life, to take hold of you, to anoint you with the Spirit, to make this your experience, to make it so that, verse 14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Lakeland, can happen right here. And news of him went out through all the surrounding region. Will the news of Jesus' body being in Lakeland go out to all the surrounding area because we have been anointed with the Spirit? Because we have returned in the power of the Spirit to Lakeland. Let's take a look at what the Holy Spirit gives for His work. Verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Who are the poor? Who are the poor? All of us in some ways, aren't we? Because not one of us is righteous. No, not one, right? None of us is righteous. You might remember Jesus was on a mountain and preached a sermon once upon a time. Blessed are the poor in spirit, huh? You remember exactly. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who recognize their spiritual poverty, not who can sit and say, I'm doing good. I come to church every Sabbath. I worship. What else do you want? I'm okay. If it's only a matter of doing church, we're not okay. If it's not a personal relationship with the Lord in heaven, we're not okay. That's where the real rubber meets the road. Is this more than just what we do in this time? Or is it a relationship between you and God? Is that where you find your true spiritual life? Week by week, day by day, each day, coming to the Lord and finding with Him a relationship, being baptized anew with that Holy Spirit, giving Him an opportunity to have access to your heart. That's what He's looking for. That's what He wants. How does He find access to your heart? As you pray, as you read Scripture, as you open to Him. So I hope that you've been going through the Bible readings or some Bible readings each day as we've started this new year, that you've been having that worship, that time alone with God. That's where it comes from. I hope that you're taking time with your families to pray together, to spend time in the Word together, to listen for God's voice together. That's how the Spirit can get access to our hearts. And He's offered that to the poor in spirit. That's you and me. God wants to do that for you and me. And for those out there in Lakeland who don't look poor in spirit, they look happy with who they are. Hey, I don't need your God. You've maybe heard that somewhere along the line. But down inside, maybe there's someone who needs to hear that. Maybe there's someone who needs a kind word. When you're about to run into Publix and there's 5 minutes left and it's getting ready to close and you're racing for that parking lot spot and just then somebody walks across and they don't walk straight across, you know? So they take less time, they walk this way. Right? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, right? And you're like, come on, I only got 5 minutes to get in there. Right? And your hand hovering over the horn button. Okay, I won't do that. Maybe that's the time to say a prayer for them. Maybe that's the time to just wave them on. Go ahead, don't worry. That's what we're talking about. A kind deed, a loving gesture, a thing that goes beyond what normal people would do. Because we have the Spirit now. The Holy Spirit is working in us. And maybe as you get the few things you wanted to do and you're racing up to the register, that same person cuts in front of you at the register. Oh, man. You heard that second mile thing? Yeah, now's the time for it. Now's the time for it. Because if our religion doesn't make a difference in our lives, it's not the religion of Christ. And it always makes a difference in the hardest times. In the time when you're already pressed, you're aggravated, stuff's going on, things are happening that this guy had no clue about, and he's cut you off twice. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And our job is to preach the gospel to the poor in spirit. And maybe right then you'll get an opportunity to be a friend to this guy, to give him a blessing that he needs. And that is your chance to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Heal the brokenhearted. Do you know what it takes to heal the brokenhearted? Sometimes it's more than just words, isn't it? Sometimes the brokenhearted need more than words. Sometimes they need a healing touch. Sometimes they need more than just a few words. Maybe they need some comfort. Maybe they need you to do something for them. I went to the hospital this weekend. No, not this weekend. This week, somewhere along the line this week, I was in the hospital. I was visiting. And as I'm getting ready to leave the hospital, I bumped into somebody. Patty and I were on our way out of the hospital, and we bumped into somebody on the way out of the hospital. Somebody who was dressed for work going into the hospital, going to put in a 12-hour shift through the middle of the night. Am I in the right neighborhood? Is it 12 hours, middle of the night? Yeah, okay. Now imagine our nurse Thomas going into the room when someone needed healing and saying, "Oh, I hope you feel better. I'll pray for you. I hope you feel better." And then backing out and going to the next room. And you say, "What kind of a nurse is that? All they did was talk." Sometimes healing is more than talking. And it requires a little bit more from us. It requires us to give up something, to do something, not just say something, to actually be physically there and emotionally engaged. Sometimes it's not easy to be a healer. Hence our need for the Holy Spirit, right? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. How many do we run into on a daily basis that are captives of the enemy, of the devil? This is not an easy work, is it? And recovery of sight to the blind, those blinded by the god of this world. Can you see how necessary it is that we have the Holy Spirit? I'm not naturally a healer. I'm not naturally one who gives sight to the blind. How do we do these things without the Holy Spirit? Can you see the greatness of our need, the urgency of our need, the fact that we need Jesus to come and dwell in our hearts by the Holy Spirit? Is it time to have these things happen? But it's not going to happen without the Holy Spirit, because it doesn't come natural to us to give up ourselves, does it? It's not natural for us. To deny ourselves. How do we do that? Brothers and sisters, we have to start on our knees. We have to start with seeking God. We have to start not out there where we intend to take the message, but we need to start right here where the message needs to be applied to me first. and it needs to get through my 30-some years of thinking I'm okay, that I've got it together, that I'm a good person, that I've known God all this time, and what else do I need? And realize that it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We sing that song, but sometimes I think what we sing is words and not meaning. You know what I mean? Because we don't want to apply it to ourselves. Because to apply it to ourselves means that I'm one of them that needs to be preached the gospel to. That I'm one that needs my broken heart healed. That I am one of the blind. Wait, blind? Wasn't there a message somewhere? Let's see, a message about miserable and poor. Yes, poor. Miserable, poor. What was the rest of that? Let's see. Blind and naked. You see, if I have to admit that I need a revival, that it starts with me, then I have to admit that I'm not really where God wants me. It's a hard thing to do, isn't it? It's hard to take a look inside myself and say, let's start by applying it here, right here with me. And it's not to say that I haven't had a relationship with Jesus Christ. The disciples were Jesus' disciples, right? They went out, they did miracles even, didn't they? They went out, they preached the gospel, didn't they? They were God's men at that time, at that place, following Jesus, weren't they? They followed Jesus, and yet, in the upper room, they still needed their feet washed, didn't they? And then, even Peter was converted, right? That night when Jesus looked at him, but I seem to remember Jesus coming to them after his ascension saying, wait, tarry in Jerusalem. What for? We got it now. We're converted. We're good. We have what we need. We've been blessed now. We've spent 3.5 years with you. What more could we need? What else did they need? Why would they wait in the upper room? They needed something more, didn't they? They needed the Holy Spirit. It wasn't that they weren't converted. It wasn't that they weren't good people. It wasn't that they weren't followers of Jesus. But they needed something more. They needed the Holy Spirit. You see, the religion of Christ is more than be forgiven from your sins. The religion of Christ takes hold of us. It makes a difference in our lives. It drives us forward to not only find Jesus for us personally, but to take that message to the world because of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Can the Spirit of the Lord truly be upon us without making a difference in us? Can that happen? He's got to make a difference. He will make a difference if we are there, open to His influence. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And it starts with us on our knees. It's time for revival. It's time for us to take this seriously, to have a relationship with Christ, not just a religion that we do on weekends. A relationship. The light of the world has come, and you are the reflection. You are the body of Christ. Could we say then that the light has come to Lakeland? Didn't Jesus say something about you are a light? The light of the world? You and I are reflections of Jesus, mere reflections. But that reflection needs to bring that light to Lakeland. That's who we are. Verse 20. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Do you think the Holy Spirit was working there? Absolutely. I pray he's working here as well. Verse 21. And he began to say to them, next week, this scripture will be fulfilled in your hearing. Huh? Next year. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Brothers and sisters, is this scripture fulfilled in Lakeland today? It is, as we fulfill the first part of verse 18, isn't it? That the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. That's where we can be as we give ourselves unreservedly to Christ. This scripture can be fulfilled in your hearing today. That's what he wants to do in us. The same work that he did in Jesus. The works that I have done, Jesus said, these ye will do, and greater things. Because the Holy Spirit is upon us. The Holy Spirit is allowed to work in us. Brothers and sisters, do we have a greater need than a need for the revival of primitive godliness among us today? True godliness, is there a greater need? Is there a more urgent need? Not according to the spirit of prophecy. This is our need, and it can be fulfilled today. What a promise. What a privilege it is for you and I to have this opportunity fulfilled in us today. God wants to do that in us today. I'd like our elders to come forward, if you would, please. Like our elders, those who are elders here in our church, to come forward just now. Because we have this opportunity, not just to say, those of you who may want to, who have never had an opportunity to say yes to Jesus, this might be a good time. This is a good opportunity. I'd like for you to take that opportunity just now and come down front. If you have never had that opportunity before, if you've never responded, now's the time to come forward and say yes to Jesus. But it doesn't have to be just that. Many of you have been Seventh-day Adventist. Many of you have been Christians of other denominations for many, many years, perhaps. Maybe longer than I have. That's all right. That's a good thing. Praise the Lord that He has been with you all of this time. But now's the chance. that you have to fulfill this scripture today. I've talked with the elders about these things already. I've talked about the idea that we as a people, as individuals as well, need to take this to the next level. Yes, we're followers of Jesus. Yes, we've been converted. Yes, we've given our hearts to Jesus. Now we need to be having that upper room experience. We need that revival. We have that opportunity this morning. Our elders are waiting here to pray with you just now. If you would like to make that step, now is the time. I'd like to ask for you to come here just now. Yes, to get up and come here, get up and stand out, and yes, to say yes to Jesus just now. To find in Him the fulfillment of these prophecies, to be with the Holy Spirit in you, because He's anointed you to preach the gospel. That's what Jesus wants to do today. It's a difficult thing to say yes. I give you that opportunity today because I want to be sure that you're serious, that you want to take time with Jesus. A commitment that's beyond just a weekend. A commitment that is different than you've had heretofore. Now is our opportunity. Our elders are praying. You be praying. Each of us can be praying that God will give to us, grant to us a new experience. That today, these prophecies will be filled in your ears. What an opportunity. We'll take just a moment now to pray quietly. If you would like, please still come. We'll pray quietly, and I pray that you will take this time to ask the Lord to make a difference in your life, that it be not just business as usual, but that God will come to you personally.